Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else.
This week, I'm in the second week of a kind of a book chat. There are many books in my life that I've read. I try to do at least two books a month, and I learned that from Tony Robbins years and years ago, that improving ourselves is so easy. It's inexpensive, and we have access to this, whether it's free from the library. I do use the Libby app a lot, or perhaps you'll find books that you just have to have and you want to purchase. And this series is about a book called You Can Be Proud or You Can Be Rich. It's 52 Life Lessons by my friend, Peter Swain. And Peter is an inspiration. He's part of an executive networking group that I am also a member of called The Morning Rush. And I've had the pleasure, the opportunity to learn from Peter over the last probably 2 years at this point. And he started to put his thoughts, or he did put his thoughts on paper in support of an organization called Lemonade Day. And Lemonade Day is a charity that provides opportunity and works with inner city kids to discover their inner entrepreneur, like to bring out that entrepreneur spirit so that they can provide for themselves. And so all the proceeds from this book, from Peter's book, go to Lemonade Day. So I'm going to share a lot of these tips with you. I'm actually going to go through these lessons because they've had an influence on my life. I use this as, the ears are kind of like, or the corners are kind of dog-eared, and the covering is starting to get a little bit tattered, because I reference this a lot. It's one of those books where I'll go grab, and if I'm struggling with something, I'll pull it off the bookshelf and take a look and see, flip it open. I have this theory that, you can flip it open and the answer that you need is right there. So I do it with lots of different books. It's kind of how I use my library, why I like to keep books around me, not just use electronic books. But I discovered this book quite some time ago. I don't remember when exactly it was that Peter published it. Let's see, 2023. So it was sometime during last year that I picked it up. And I've just been playing with it. And I really wanted to share it with you guys for two reasons. One, it's the content is amazing. It's a no-nonsense condensed approach to these valuable life lessons. He's putting them into one sentence targeted statements that help you to think. And so I'm going to read the each of the life lessons with you and then share kind of my point of view. I encourage you to get the book. Two reasons. One, you'll want to read his stories and his point of view. I'm sharing my point of view, but I'm talking about the life lessons that he's sharing, because I think we all have life lessons, but when you can see them on paper and you can start to actually walk through them and remember your own stories regarding those life lessons, it lands. It helps you to learn. It helps you to not repeat the mistakes and actually be proud of the things that you have done. So if you missed episode one, go back and listen to it. We did the first 20. I don't know if we'll get through all 52 of these today. My goal is to get through them. And then hopefully we'll have a conversation with Peter at some point, talking about why he wrote this book and how it's affected his life and how it has shown up in conversations that he had. Who are some of the people that have had joy and experience from this book? So hopefully, I don't have that scheduled yet, but stay tuned, keep posted. There will be a day three if I get him booked into the show. But let's dive in. Number two, we're starting at 21 today. We did the first 20 in the last episode. So again, you can grab that off of my YouTube channel, Lisa Mosby. Number 21, find a way or make a way. Survival of the fittest is what he wrote down. And when I saw this, find a way or make a way, my dad's voice popped in my ear and it was chatting, and it said, if at first you don't succeed, try again. All that happened is you learn one more way that it doesn't work. And it takes some of the fear out of finding a way or making a way or trying new things. It takes the fear away for me. So find a way or make a way. The other one that comes up for me, anything worth doing is worth doing well. My dad always said to me, he's like, don't phone it in. Don't do it. Pardon my French, half-assed. That was his line. Don't do it half-assed, girl. You got the talent. You got the skills. If you're going to do it well. So those are two things that kind of landed for me when I read this. A little bit different. Peter has a little different take on it. But again, you got to get the book to read where he's coming from on this. Number two, if it's not going to kill me, and it's not addictive, I'll try it. Those are Peter's words. That's a life lesson. And the point here is that So many times we let fear stop us. And you know, even with lesson 21, it's fear, find a way or make a way. Sometimes we just don't even start. We never get out of the starting gate because we don't know how to start. And when we do start, we're afraid to make a mistake when we take those first steps. And the truth is that we fail. We've started it when we were an infant. We would try to stand up. We were crawling and try to stand up and we would fall and we would fall and we would fall. But we never gave up. We didn't give up as children. We don't need to give up as adults. So find a way, make a way. And if it's not going to kill you and it's not addicting, give it a try. Why not start saying yes to opportunities that show up rather than hibernating, avoiding, and staying away? What's the worst that could happen? You can leave if you're getting if you get yourself into a situation that you don't enjoy. It doesn't land with you. It's not connected to who you are. Maybe it's just not of interest to you. So we can always leave. We can change our mind. We can go a different direction. But if we never try, we never get out of the starting gates. Another thing that my dad used to share with me was, I never regret the trips I took. And I'm talking in frame for reference to travel, but how would you end that sentence? I never regret the things that I do. The things that I say yes to, the things that I try because I learned one way not to do it, or I discovered something that I really truly love. Like, let's not live life with regrets. Let's get out of the starting gate. Let's try new things and protect ourselves. Don't do it if it's addicting or if it's going to hurt you. Number 23, mastery requires not knowledge, but action. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for 40 years, and that is probably number one. When I coach people, when I work with new entrepreneurs or people who have been around for a while, I look at their calendar first. It's like, can you show me your calendar? What'd you do this week? Who'd you call? What appointments did you have? Who'd you meet one-to-one? What demos did you do? How many times did you demonstrate your product? Because if there is no action, I know where we need to start. We can continue to learn and we can continue to practice and we can continue to read about things, but until we get into action, until we start forward momentum, we're not going to see success. For Peter, he states, mastery is not about knowing, it's about doing. And I'm 100% behind him on this one. There's always another distinction, is the other thing. I love this word distinction, and I use it often. It's like, how do we, distinguish what's working and what's not working? What gets counted is what's working, right? If we're paying attention, if we're observing the actions that we're taking, if we're making a lot of phone calls, and 10 out of 10 say no, perhaps we need to change our script. You know, the distinction is, how are we taking those actions? And do we need to refine our process? Do we need to get ourselves a business coach? Do we need to have somebody listen in and observe what it is that we're doing to capture those items that we're not doing well, to look at our processes. So anything worth doing is worth doing well. I'm going to recap these guys. And mastery is not necessarily knowledge. It is taking action. We have to implement all those things that we've learned. Number 24, all personalities form from trauma. About this. I definitely know that there are parts of my personality that were formed from trauma. It's the things that have not gone wrong, which have caused me to create, or the things that have not gone right that have caused me to put boundaries around different areas so that when things do go wrong, I can stop it really quickly. Or if I'm headed down the wrong path, I can stop it really quickly. I have no issue with making decisions quickly if things aren't lining up. So maybe, our personality is formed by trauma. What do you think? Might be one to ponder. Number 25, you eat what you kill or you go hungry. And this is a motto from sales. Like I said, entrepreneur of 40 years, I have definitely lived this motto. I've been on commission pretty much most of my life. There are a couple of times where I did go into a salaried position where somebody wanted to pay me a set amount of money every month. But even with those salaried positions, I didn't have medical insurance most of my life. I've had to pay for it myself. I've been an entrepreneur and had to figure out ways to support myself that are untraditional of employees. And so eating what you kill or you go hungry has I've experienced that many months throughout my 40 years as an entrepreneur. That's sales. So how are you showing up and eating what you kill? How do you have that mindset of there won't be food on the table if I don't get this job done? Even if you are an employee, if you adopt this mindset, it might help you to become more hungry. When people are more hungry, they're more apt to do the things that need to be done, and they're willing to take the risks, and they have to set fear aside, otherwise they don't eat. So how do you adapt this? How do you apply this to your job, whether it's an employee situation or you're an entrepreneur or just getting started as an entrepreneur? Number 26, hard and relentless are different things. Yes, sir, they are. I am going to share a story from this one because I didn't know how else to pull this together for me. Wolves are a good analogy of relentless. They are the most efficient predator with 95 to 98% hunting success. They run behind their prey, but never touch it, fight it, or take it down. They run until the thing in front of them falls over, gives up. That's relentless. For me, I wrote down in the margin here, persistent pursuit. I may not have the product that that person needs today, but if I believe in my product and I really truly believe it's something that they will benefit from, it's my duty, my job to persistently let folks know what I'm doing, how I'm serving the world, how I'm showing up, what I have to offer, the research that I've done, and why I use the products that I use, because I know that they're beneficial. I know that they work. It's that persistency, that tenacity of knowing that you're doing good, knowing that you're serving. If you don't believe in your product and you don't believe in what you're doing, you won't be persistent because you don't believe it. So, how do we tie this together? How do we make sure that our why and our mission is strong enough and it allows us to be persistent in our pursuit of the sale? Number 27, you can't win if you don't play to win. Oh my gosh, my dad, I hate to say the word, beat this into my head because he didn't hit me, but it was like over and over again, win, win, we play, win, win. We don't play lose, win, where I lose and I work for free, or we don't play win, lose, where you're taking advantage of somebody else and it's all about your needs and you being successful. Win-win. Life is about win-win. And when we play win-win, we'll never be short on referrals. We will never be short on friends. We will never be short on kindness, because when we play win-win, we lead with love, we lead with kindness, we lead with compassion, and we make sure that it's a good deal for both you and for the client or the customer. So, how are you playing win? Win. Number 28, and that was a big chapter, you guys. I have like many things outlined in this chapter on both pages. So make sure you read 27 when you get the book. Number 28, know how much effort is required. Everything takes energy, right? And if we say yes to something over here, we're saying no to something over here. So if we say yes to going to a dinner party with our work compadres on Friday, we're saying no to our family Friday dinner. Is that how you want to show up in the world? Where are you putting your energy? Where your focus goes, your energy goes. So know how much effort is required and if it's where you want to invest your energy. If not, practice in the mirror saying no, and maybe say no, not now, or no, not at this time. It doesn't have to be no forever, but look at your energy throughout the week. Look at your energy throughout the day. And if you need to say no, exercise your right to say no and learn to say no. And this is for the women entrepreneurs out there, because many of you are in my life and you don't say no. And hey, no judgment. This is new for me. I think I just learned this after year 40 in business. I don't think I knew how to do this in years 1 through 39. It took me a while, and it's been, been showing up in a lot of the material that I'm studying and a lot of the books that I've been reading about women entrepreneurs. We need to learn to say no, and we need to stay in our own lane and focus on how we best serve. Don't get derailed. So hopefully you'll learn to say no. When you doubt your output, you will more than, or I'm sorry, when you double your output, you will more than double your success. And when we say yes to us, when we say yes to our business, to our mission, to our purpose, what it is that's our highest and best way to serve people, we have the ability and the energy to double our output because we love what we do. And when we're doing the things that bring us joy and fulfillment, we can do more of that. We can double our output and we can double our rewards. But if it's something that drags us down, that it sucks our energy, it's not fulfilling. We not only can, do what we normally can do on average, we are probably doing less than and not doing it well. So this is really important. Learn to say no in those areas that do not serve you. Number 29, time is the only true currency. I wrote in the margins on this one, I can always make more money, but I only have so much time. I can always make more money, but I only have so much time. And I've said that for years and years and years. So Peter suggests that we audit our time. Where are you investing the time and the energy from, the last one? Where are you investing your time and your energy? And does it deserve your time and energy? We only have so much time. Does your family get enough of that time? Or is it all going to a company that doesn't appreciate and deserve you? Allocate the appropriate time so that you can provide for your family. Audit your time and know that, and discover and know that your time is being spent wisely. Number 30, judge in 4D. I had to read through this one a couple of times. If a person has just been punched in the face, they're very different than if they've just been hugged. That makes me think of the quote from Mike Tyson about being punched in the face. When and where we encounter them will form our crucial first impression. So, judgment is hard. When we judge, we show up differently than if we show up with an open mind. We do tend to judge based on our preconceived notions, our experiences, things that happen to us. We may judge a situation going forward or a situation that we come into based on past history. So judgment needs to be set aside, and there's a better way to look at it, and that is with assessment. How do we assess a situation? How do we observe a situation versus judge the situation? It causes you to show up differently. And what you see, you will see differently. It will change the way you see things when you shift that. Number 31, jealousy ignores sacrifice. You can become jealous when you look solely at the result and do not look at the sacrifices. I see this with, I know a few people. I never had children. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. And I have had women that I've coached that came into my world that said, "Oh, I wish I could live your life." And it was like, yes and no. I mean, yes, there are experiences in my life that you probably would have enjoyed and still can enjoy in the future, but you had children. Children come with sacrifice. We may not be able to have a full-time career because we choose to raise healthy, wise, intelligent children, and we're going to take them to our soccer games, and we're going to send them to private school, or we're going to take them to school every day and pick them up. We're going to make sure that there's food on the table for breakfast and dinner before they go and when they come home. All of those things can be considered a form of sacrifice. You need to give up something else to say yes to your children. You're saying no to yourself. You're saying maybe no to your career. Maybe you're saying no to travel or other opportunities because you need to create a home, a stable home life. So rather than looking outside of us and comparing ourselves to other people, we can step back in and appreciate and be grateful for what it is that we have, the life that we've designed. And if you see something that another person enjoys and that they're experiencing, figure out how to incorporate it in your life. There's no need to be jealous. Information is all around us, and we can consume that information and we can implement it into our own lives. We can design a life that includes those things that we're observing, whether it's a higher education. There's many different ways to get a higher education now. There's no excuses. If you wanted to go to college, you can go online and go to college. There's grants, there's funding, there's opportunity out there more than ever before in our world. So set jealousy on the bookshelf and say, you know what? I can revisit that another day. Maybe I don't ever have to go back to that. Instead, let's observe. Let's figure out how we can find those things that we enjoy, that we want to do, that we want to experience, and say yes to them. And start getting, you know, put fear over there with jealousy and start living the life that you want to live. Live that bucket list life. What does it look like for you? Maybe write down those things that you see in other people that are appealing and figure out at some point how you can incorporate it into your world. Blame accurately, then fix the problem. How do we identify it, deal with it, forgive it, and move on? Sometimes we need to speak up when things aren't going right. We can avoid them. I know I'm guilty of this. It's like, oh, it's all right. You're not doing a great job, but it's okay. I know they're learning. I can make excuses for other people when they're not going right. And what this brings to mind for me is, I don't choose to use the word blame, but for me, it's like acknowledge the situation and say, you know, speak up, be brave, and, you know, let people know what's happening, what your feelings are, what your emotions are in a kind and loving way, and have a conversation. I think that most challenges in this world come from a lack of conversation where somebody is afraid to speak up or speak their truth in a kind, loving way and create an opportunity for discussion and conversation. So be brave and have those conversations. Number 33, live in assessment, not judgment. And I kind of jumped ahead because I knew this was in here when we were talking about jealousy. I was using jealousy and judgment kind of together. Live in assessment, not judgment. We kind of covered it. You know, rather than bringing your baggage to a situation, assess the situation. Use your intellect. Don't use your heart or your hurt or your trauma to judge the situation. Assess. And then if you need input from somebody else to make sure that you're assessing it in a healthy way, reach out to someone and get that input. Assess, don't judge. Number 34, words matter. I always tell on myself on this show, there have been times where I've said things that I can't take back. You can never put Jack back in the box. You know, remember the old toy that you twirled the thing and the Jack and it made music and the Jack in box popped out. You can't put Jack back in the box when it comes to words. When we say things, they hurt. And sometimes they can be like daggers. So it matters. And then choosing your words wisely. Words can trigger other people based on their energy, their experience, their trauma. And so it's important the words that we use. And you'll see if you watch people's expressions, if you look them in the eyes when you're talking to them, if you say something that's not in alignment, you'll notice it on their face, or they might lean back, their body language or their behavior may shift. Get clarity. Just say, I don't know if that landed. Did that make sense for you? There's ways for you to piggyback, go back and say, wow, I may not have chosen my words wisely there. Or what is your takeaway from what I just said? And get clarity in that situation, because words are like acorns. They can grow into this massive oak tree of a problem if we don't address it. So words matter. Make sure you choose your words and be aware of the words that you're using in environments. How are they landing? Are people relating to you? Number 35, language has power. I'm going to piggyback that on words. You got to go back and read the chapter yourself. Our brain will manifest the thoughts you give it, and it can influence others is what kind of a synopsis of this. And what I wrote down in the margin for me was I am. What follows I am, you speak into yourself. And in the Bible, it says that I am are the two most, it's the most powerful sentence in the English language, I am, because you can speak that into your life. I am powerful. I am encouraging. I am loving. I am kind. Or you can use negative words after that. Think about the ways that you talk to yourself. What do you put after the words I am when you have self-talk going on, when you've just had a faux pas, when you made a mistake at work? What do you say to yourself? Are you beating yourself up? Or are you saying, wow, I just learned one more way that it doesn't work. I'm going to try something else before I leave for home tonight. You know, how are you using your language and how are you using your words? Number 36, iterate without ego or emotion. Have you ever led from the heart? Have you ever blown your top? Said something that you regretted? We need to come from, like, here he's talking about iterate without ego or emotion. So trying to keep your ego on the shelf. Sometimes it's hard to do. If somebody offends you, you want to step into that powerful place that, you know, that I call it Zeus energy, versus that love and kindness and compassion energy and asking for clarity. When our feelings are hurt, can you set your emotions on the side and speak to it and say, wow, that was a dagger. That really hurt my feelings. Was that what your intention? Just ask for clarity. I don't think people, most of the people in our lives, are mean. I don't think that their intention is to hurt us or make us feel bad about ourselves. Some are, but I think folks that are your friends, the business people that you work with, sometimes we can give them a chance to create clarity. We can come back and just use better communication skills and say, wow, that kind of hurt my feelings. Is that your intention? Or, you know what? I'd really like to talk about this. Where were you coming from with that statement? It's okay to ask for clarity. It doesn't mean, you know, it's not putting them down in any way. It speaks to you and self-care and taking care of yourself. So speak up, be brave. Number 37, cost and value are not the same thing. For me, that's kind of that time and money too, cost and value. We are going to invest certain things. And where I went with this, I wrote health. I choose to eat as much organic as I can afford. I choose to take supplements. I choose to use high quality nutritional products. I choose to add a mushroom blend to support my brain into my coffee every day. And those things cost money. And so I'm willing to give up in other areas so that I can spend more money on my food and my nutrition because I don't have medical bills then. When I can stay healthy and invest those dollars in my health through the foods that I put in my body, the environment that I create, the cleaning products that I use, all of those things, cost versus value, you know, those are valuable and they have a cost to them. Where are you investing? What can you give away that is perceived to be of value? Let's tie this into work. Do we need to charge for everything, or are there things that we can provide for folks? I obviously am in the health and wellness industry, have been for a long time. I give away an 18-page ebook that has all of my recipes in it for making my own cleaning supplies. I was diagnosed with skin cancer at a very, very young age. I had an overexposure to toxicity when I was young, and it all started to come out through my skin as skin cancer. So I've had many, many, you know, in excess of 40 skin cancer issues removed. But because of that, I am more diligent with the products that I use, you know, dr not drinking out of certain kinds of contain plastic containers or using plastic silverware, those kinds of things. So I give this away. It's of value. It speaks to my brand, my image, who I am, how I can support other people in cleaning up the chemicals in their life. But there's a tremendous amount of value. It doesn't cost me anything. I mean, I created it a long time ago. It's a digital piece that I can put out, and it's a value that I can offer folks, and it shows them who I am, what I stand for, and it invites them in to do business with me. So cost versus value. Again, those words matter. How are you using them? Number 37. I'm sorry, that was number 37. Cost and value are not the same thing. Number 38, don't apologize for being yourself. Obviously, be who you are, show up who you are. Authenticity is an overused word in the life coaching space these days, in the personal growth space these days, but there's truth to that. We wear a lot of hats. We wear a lot of masks. We show up as mother, daughter, sister, wife, aunt. We show up as all these different people. It's us that people want to get to know. It's the true inner being that we are. We can play all those roles, but how you play those roles, let that person be the real you. There's been expectations placed on your life since you were an infant from parents, teachers, authority. And those expectations can change your personality. So, are you being authentically you, coming from a place of kindness and compassion and love, and letting people really get to know you? I know so many folks who say, I don't have any friends because they've been hidden. They hide behind these masks and they wear these hats and they don't let their authentic side show up. I want to know your true opinion. I want to know what your likes and your dislikes are. I would love to have a conversation to actually know you. What do you enjoy about life? What are you grateful for? What makes you feel blessed? And when we can share those things, it's risky. We put our heart on our sleeve, but let people get to know the real you. Show up as that person, not as the people that you've been told to be. Number 39, fault and responsibility are the most intertwined and misunderstood words. I'm not going to go after fault. I am going to go after responsibility. How do you take responsibility for things that come up? Sometimes we want to play the blame game and say, oh, it was somebody else, it was somebody else. But even if it was somebody else, how does it hurt you to take responsibility and show up and say, you know what? I see that there's garbage on the floor, but I'm going to just pick it up. I didn't put it there, but I'm going to pick it up. Have you ever heard people say, that's not my job description or that's not my job? What if everyone took responsibility within their own company to support each other, to edify each other, to have each other's backs rather than stab them? What about in our family, if our sons and our daughters or our brothers and sisters took responsibility for the behaviors of the family? You know, take responsibility for calling, getting on the phone, and causing a get together to happen. Take responsibility for having a family dinner so that we could all see each other on Sunday evening. How does responsibility show up? Rather than playing the blame game, let's start being responsible. Let's act responsible and move into what that could look like and how it could change your life. It's not about blaming, it's not about doing anything wrong, it's just being responsible. Number 40, being offended and dealing with the offensive are not the same thing. True. In my notes, it's none of your business what other people think of you. Dad. Of course, I wrote dad at the end of that because he had a lot of dadisms, I'm telling you. It's none of my business what other people think of me. I can't be offended if I keep my nose out of those, you know, out of other people's business. You know, people can talk about me behind my back. Hopefully, I'm showing up as a kind, loving person, and the things that they're saying behind my back are good and positive. But if they're not, they're judging, or they're jealous, or they're using some of these lower vibrational energies. And it's none of my business. It's their stuff. They need to deal with it. They need to work through it. And I don't want it to take me down. I don't want it to take a moment of thought from me. I don't want to put any energy into that at all. Being offended, you can only be offended if you allow it. Like somebody can say something to you like, oh, you're wearing those rags again. I could be offended or go, yeah, they're my favorite clothes. I love these jeans. And when I wear these, I feel so good. I feel empowered. I feel like I can take on the world. You know, I could have been offended or I can just own it. So how do you take that offensive comment? Do you flip it back around and empower yourself with it? Might be a thought to try it. There's a world of difference between being offensive and being offended, he says. They can be offended by your words, your appearance, or your decision. They can be offended, but it's their choice. And when somebody is offensive or tries to offend you, it's your choice. How do you choose? Number 41, simple is one syllable too long. People are simple. He talks about an interesting example of losing weight in here. To lose weight, we just need to eat less and move more. Now, people pay billions of dollars every year for that advice, but it's pretty darn simple how we can lose weight, eat less, move more. You know, there's other distinctions. We talked about that word, distinctions, which might mean, you know, the types of food that you're choosing, when you eat less so that you have more nutrition in your body. And so we write books about this, but sometimes we just need to reduce things down to keep it simple. You've seen those letters before, KISS. Keep it simple, smarty pants. Keep it simple, silly man. Keep it simple. I'm not even going to use that negative one. But how do we simplify things? Because sometimes we overcomplicate, and when things are overcomplicated, we stop momentum. We never take that next right action because we've overcomplicated it. So let's keep it simple. Let's keep moving forward. Let's continue to take action. Let's watch our words. How are we showing up with love and kindness and compassion for our fellow humans? Number 42, saying sorry doesn't have to make you weak. Expecting an apology, that's what makes you weak. But saying sorry and speaking up when you know you were wrong, what does it hurt? It's about taking responsibility. And, expecting someone else to say they're sorry, just throw it out. Just throw it out. Either they will or they won't. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And don't have expectations of apologies, but be the first to apologize. If you know you were wrong, there's nothing wrong with admitting it and taking the next right action. I'm sorry that that went that direction. Can we start over and do XYZ? We can apologize. We're the bigger person. Number 43, you can hit 100% if you haven't upset somebody. Be okay with people not liking you. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I do say that a lot when I meet folks that I just, kind of nails on the chalkboard. We just don't mesh. There's certain personality types. If you ever done any of those personality types, I'm the joiner. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be together. And introverts and I are we're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, so it's more challenging. So I might not be their cup of tea because I am out front and I'm outspoken and I might be loud at times. It's my personality. So I understand that I might not be everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. I'm not going to hit 100% of the people all the time. As long as you come to the world from a place of honesty, integrity, and love, it doesn't matter if people don't like you. I have to read this page every day because I want people to like me. And the reality is that there are people in this world that don't like me, probably a lot of them. I just don't know them all yet. But as long as you come from a place of honesty, integrity, and love, it doesn't matter if people don't like you. So I'm giving you permission not to be liked. As long as you're honest, you go forth with integrity, and you treat people with kindness. Number 44, feelings are irrelevant in important situations. And again, we talked about emotions versus ego. We're coming into feelings. Oh, it doesn't feel right. We often forget to focus on the what is, not the feeling or how I feel about a situation. Sometimes we just need to get the work done and set our feelings aside. Once it's done, we can process our feelings. I'm not saying stuff your problems, and neither is Peter. It's sometimes we just need to get the work done and we can process our feelings later. Number 45, dishonesty is the root cause of stress. This totally landed with me. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. We don't speak our truth. And it's not that I'm dishonest to other people. I'm dishonest to myself. I'm not speaking up. I'm stuffing my emotions. I'm not processing my feelings outside of situations. Dishonesty is the root cause of stress. Most people are hiding from confrontation and not being honest with themselves. True, raw, and unabridged honesty relieves stress. Now, we're not saying that we should be mean to other people when we're honest. That is not it at all. But speaking up rather than being dishonest and stuffing your emotions, that's what causes illness. Dis-ease in our life causes illness. So we need to speak our truth. We need to be brave and kind. Kindness always supersedes that. So we're dishonest with others by omission almost constantly. Have you omitted something in your conversations lately? Have you omitted something with your children? Like, do they see that you're struggling financially, but you won't be honest with them and sit down and talk to them about money? Why not? They're kids. They need to learn about this. They need to learn how to plan for the future, save their babysitting money, make sure that they have enough of a slush fund. It's great that they can learn from your trials because it will make them more secure in the future. We can talk with our kids. We don't need to lie through omission. We can just be honest. So it's scary. I think it's scary. I wrote down that scares me in the margins here. Dishonesty is the root of all cause, the root cause of all stress. So are you being dishonest with yourself or the people in your life? Is there a way for you to speak kindly? Use your words and your language to show up more honestly and authentically. Be yourself, be who you are, and create the life that you want without stress, inviting joy into each and every day. Notice your blessings and feeling grateful for them. Number 46, recognize the fallacy of I'll try my best. You know, we've said this multiple times. We've used the word try multiple times in these last few chapters. And I had to hold it off. I wrote it in I knew it was in the book. I wrote it in the margins here. Do or do not. There is no try. And y'all know who that's from. It's Yoda. Do or do not. It wasn't my dad, but you know, sometimes we called him Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try. Recognizing the fallacy of I'll try my best. Are you really going to try your best? Or are you just going to do your best? I think that was, remember that word distinction. We can use that distinction and shift that sentence. Maybe you do use that word try my best often, but if you shifted it to say, I'm going to do my best, and that's all I can ask of any of the people that I work with or work for is just do your best. My best at 9 a.m. is not my best at 9 p.m. I'm tired at 9 p.m. I want to unwind. I don't have the energy. If I need to speak to somebody who's struggling or has a challenge, they're going to get a better side of me at 9 a.m. But if they need me at 9 p.m., I'm still going to show up and I'm going to do my best for them at 9 p.m. I'm not just going to try. I'm going to do it. Number 47, overly communicate the context. Our experiences and context change how we interact with the world. We don't know what somebody else's experience and context is. So tread lightly. If you don't pay attention to the context, you will almost certainly walk away with a false read of another person. We don't want to judge situations. We want to assess them, and we want to assess them as honestly as we can without bringing in our own experiences or our own history, our own trauma. So context matters when we're communicating. Number 48, be present. We often live in a comparison mode. It says from Lao Tzu, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. But for peace, you need to be present. There's that, the present is the gift. I don't remember the rest of that saying, but the present is the gift of being fully present. The gift is being fully present right here, right now, because all the rest of it doesn't matter. The past has already happened and the future is yet to be. We don't know what it's going to be. And we can influence the future by how we show up today. And if we show up today worried and anxious, that's what we're carrying with us. That's part of the baggage and the luggage that we've packed to carry with us into the future versus being grateful, joyful, and blessed in the moment. There's always something in the moment to be grateful and blessed for. Feeling blessed about. Sorry, guys, I'm going to go back to my dad. And that is, every day above ground is a good day. He would say that to me, you know, during those years of puberty and mood swings and living in a house with multiple daughters. Every day above ground is a good day, girls. And, you know, he's right. Every day above ground can be a good day. It's a choice that we make. How do you want to show up in your life today, in the present? Number 49, welcome to nuance. It's context's best friend, BFF. He says, I almost called this section could, should, would for different reasons. The idea here, the nuance of context, is to get a better understanding of somebody else is to ask open-ended questions. If we ask yes or no questions, we're not really going to get very far because our question is coming from us. If it's yes or no, we're looking for a, you know, a, like we're not moving the conversation forward. If we ask open-ended questions, we get more information. It gives the person to a chance to elaborate and tell us more. The other thing that landed for me here is could, should, would, and I wrote in the margin can't. Can't and try, could, should, would, can't and try were the five words that were banned from my vocabulary when I was still in elementary school. If we would say that, my dad would say, "Really? You can't? Really? Really? Prove it. Prove it that you can't. Prove it." And or he, it was like nails on a chalkboard for him if you use the word could or should or would. It's, you know, it's kind of it lands with the word try. Either go do it or don't. You know, there is no should, there is no could. Do it or don't. Would, I don't know if would fits in there as much, but I over and over and over I would hear him say to me, should you do this, or are you choosing to do this? Should you do this, or do you want to do this? Could, should, would, try, can't. How do they fit in your vocabulary? And do you need those words? Are they things that you would like to bless and release? Maybe replace them with doing your best. Number 50, there is always option C. You know, we have plan A and plan B. Are you stuck choosing between A and B? You know, if your husband and you are on different sides, if he's A and you're B, what about C? You know, can we come together? Can A and B come together and create a plan C? There's always a way if you're willing to find it. But if you stay in your own, you know, stay stuck. If you stay stuck in your own plan, that's the only way, communication is going to break down and it's going to create tension. Is there a space right now in your life where you need a plan C or D or E or F? I don't know. But plan C, sometimes we, you know, we have a plan B. Plan A is what we're doing. We always have a plan B. But do we need a plan C sometimes? 51, learn from failure, validate with success. Failure is how we learn. Do not be afraid, and certainly don't punish others who have failed. Failure is just trying something new and discovering something that doesn't work. It's not the end all be all most of the time. If it's a life and death situation, of course, that's different. But failure in business, we make mistakes. I can tell you of a mistake where I put $30,000 of brochures into a garbage bin in the back of our office. We had sent in our papers to get a trademark, and our papers passed somebody else's papers in the mail. They made it so many minutes before us. They were recorded before we were. And my word that I used in trademarking this course, all the material had to be thrown out because I didn't get the trademark and I missed it. Just, you know, it might not have been minutes, but it was a day or two where theirs was recorded before mine. And there was no way our attorney didn't really know, you know, I mean, they checked it. There was no trademark at the time that they checked it. Who knew that somebody was submitting their paperwork in those 3 days? We could have checked it again in a week to make sure, to double check. We didn't make that mistake again, but it happens. And there's no blame. He did his job. We went ahead, we printed the material. Yeah, it sucks. It cost $30,000 of material that we had created with, you know, binders and coffee mugs and t-shirts and all of the material. But we learned from that failure, and I don't make those mistakes anymore. And it's a huge part of my coaching is to be able to look at other people's businesses and see where their gaps are, see where they may be having failures that they can stop and shift it around and make changes. Validate your failures with success. We came up with something bigger and better, and you know, and it ended up having a tremendous amount of success with the new thing. So, failure is not the end all be all. Last but not least, number 52, conclusion. Ignore everything you just read and create your own rules. You know, I took Peter's lessons and I gave you the insight of the things that came up for me. Now, I encourage you to read the book because these are my perceptions. They are not his, and his are quite profound. And I think you'll enjoy listening to his distinctions, his nuances. They're different than mine, but everyone that reads this book will have a different experience. And I know that you will too. And besides that, you're supporting a great cause, Lemonade Day. Our future entrepreneurs, our youth, inner city youth, are going to learn a tremendous amount by the contributions that you make. That money goes to a good cause. So I encourage you, you can be proud or you can be rich by Peter Swain, 52 Life Lessons, valuable, no nonsense life lessons. I encourage you to check it out. Thank you so much for sticking with me on all of this. I know it was a little bit long today, but I hope it was valuable. And you can always listen to this in pieces or go back and review it again. But definitely grab the book. The Amazon, you can find it on Amazon. The link will be in the show notes. And if you can't find that, feel free to reach out to me. I'll make sure we get you set up. If you'd like to talk about your business, your social media platform, and how you're showing up online, feel free to reach out to me on my website and book a 15-minute call. We can talk about it. My name is Lisa, M-O-S-B-E-Y, Lisa Mosby. .com is my website. Thanks, everybody. Come on back next week.
Thanks for joining me on A Bit of Insight. To get more involved with our wellness community, grab a copy of my book, Live Well, Travel Far, or to explore our travel offerings, visit the website at insightcenterforwellness.com. And if today's episode gave you something to think about, leave a review and please share it with a friend. This is Lisa Mosby reminding you to live well, travel far, and always follow your insight.